Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
My next guest has one hell of a CV in corporate Ireland. He used to run TV3. He now runs On Post. He's also the chair of the Dublin Task Force. And thankfully for journalists like me, he's never shy of an opinion. Only last week, he expressed despair at applications for large-scale housing construction being rejected once again under pressure from local residents. David McRedmond is the chief executive of On Post and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, David.
Morning, Joe.
We'll come to On Post and to the Dublin Task Force in a moment. But first, what do you dislike most about Ireland's current planning system?
I dislike that it is binary, that planning applications are made and it's a yes or no very often, and that judicial reviews can be pretty binary as well. No, you cannot proceed because X was wrong or Y was wrong in application, rather than a system that could say yes, but, and say, yes, you can go ahead, but we want these things changed. And they would be realistic levels of change that would allow investors to still make a return. You know, the issue really in the end is for, you know, whatever one's politics, we need capital. We need global capital coming into Ireland. We need development capital. And it's drying up, and it's drying up for a reason, which is it's too difficult to build here. It's too uncertain, and that is going to create massive problems for us going forward. We will not solve the housing crisis. We will not solve things if we don't get to a much more realistic approach in planning. And if even with that, we need to also have almost a kind of moral change where we say that, no, we're not going to object to everything. We are going to allow things to proceed. It shouldn't be seen as a free pass to object to something. At the moment, it's a free pass. You can object and there are no consequences. There have to be consequences. You know, I grew up in Dundrum. Dundrum is a really well-connected part of the city. The old shopping centre is collapsing. Not the new shopping centre, but the old shopping centre is collapsing. And there was a fantastic plan for development there for hundreds of apartments. And it was blocked. And
By the local residents.
And, you know, to a degree, local politicians also have a role. You know, are they...
But they always sit on the fence, don't they, David? They always say, well, here's the information, rather than coming out and saying, I'm in favour or I'm dead against.
Yes. And I think they do need to come out and say they're in favour. Yes, they're the public representatives. So I can understand, you know, if you're a TD, you're saying, well, I've been lobbied very heavily. I have to object to something because of it. But you don't. We all need to take a leadership position now. You know, I've heard some public representatives on radio saying, oh, it's dreadful that, you know, young people, it breaks my heart, they can't get somewhere. And these same people objected to the development, for example, in Clonliffe, which was another great area of Dublin, one of the nicest areas of Dublin, right in the doorstep of central Dublin. 1,500 homes being built, 1,500 people could be living there today, but it was objected to.
Do you think we have a slightly worse NIMBY problem than other countries? In other words,
we have by a distance the worst. Partly, you know, our legal system facilitates it, and, you know, we're proud of our common law system. Maybe, I'm not sure how well it works. It doesn't work in relation to planning. But somehow it's seen as being a reasonable thing to object. And I think that has to change. You know, and why does it need to change? It needs to change because we're a growing country. You know, we're a country that has come through extraordinary times, difficult times. We were the poorest country in Europe 50 years ago. We've built up the country, built up the economy. People have done a great job, but it's growing now and we need to invest. We simply need the infrastructure. And it's not just infrastructure. We need the services as well. You know, it's how did our defence forces get so depleted? How did our Gardaí numbers fall so much? How can we not get the planning for Dublin Airport when apparently everybody in the cabinet's in favour? How can, you know, These are the things that we need to grapple with, and we need to find ways to get things done. Because it's a great country, it's a great economy, and we can do really well. I think we're also, to a degree, still traumatized. I think much of government is still traumatized by the global financial crash. And I can understand it, and it was a humiliation for Ireland having to bring in the Troika. But we've moved on from that. And we need to move on now, and we need to invest.
And another thing that you are focused on that we need to look seriously at is the capital city. It is not in great shape. You've been charged with restoring the capital city. No mean feat, so fair play for taking it on. What is the solution? I mean, you've given your 10-point plan. Any progress?
Yeah, there is some progress. I mean, but it's not fast enough and it's not big enough, but there is progress. Department of Taoiseach are about to make some announcements, I think, in relation to putting in place a special purpose vehicle for the centre of Dublin. A lot of the agencies are getting on with the work. You know, there are some great developments in Dublin.
We need an elected mayor, someone to put their foot on the ball with a budget and who can make clear, decisive decisions?
We certainly need stronger local government. I mean, I think that, you know, city council does a good job. Richard Shakespeare is a fine city manager, but he'd be the first to say he only controls 12% of the expenditure in Dublin. In most cities, that's 40 to 50%, most cities in Europe. So what's really important is having the budget. An elected mayor is because if you've got the control over that much of a budget, you really ought to have somebody elected to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's most important is to set up an authority that really can coordinate the activities across transport, across policing, across
accommodation.
And, you know, the whole point about the task force report, and which was put together by all of the agencies, is that it's holistic. You know, you can't, there's no point just putting extra guards in the street if you don't have anybody living in the city. But you're not going to get people living in the city.
How many people live on O'Connell Street?
One person now. It was two at the start
and
of the report.
Why? And it could be hundreds.
Well, you know, we've always had zoning, you know, we've zoned these streets for retailing. And that's another, you know, if you think of the things that have changed in the world, retailing isn't what it was. It's much less intense because of online retailing. So having zoned for retail, it doesn't matter now. And we need to zone for mixed use. We also have very strong regulations, which in many ways are good, for building, but they're too strong for converting above shops, and it makes it unaffordable to do it. And it's back to this issue of investment. People need to make a return. There need to be derogations. In most cities in Europe, there are derogations precisely for converting above shops.
And is that a big deal to get a derogation?
I think it's possible. I think it's entirely possible to do it. And
does it need an act of legislation, or is that something that the city manager can do?
Some of it needs legislation, but some of it is bylaws. Some of it is SIs. You know, there's a number of different ways these things can be done. Most of all, it just needs leadership. It needs somebody saying, this is what we are doing, and we want to put together, and the task force recommends putting together a small team that would go around, and because most of these aren't corporate landlords, they're families, they're people who have owned a building
for
trusts, and go around to them and say, convert the two or three apartments above the shop. You know, and there was a great plan for four apartments being converted at the bottom of Grafton Street. And again, there were objections. And that's, you know, that's heartbreaking because that's precisely the development we need.
Okay, stay with us, David. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with David McRae.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
And we're back with David McRedman, the Chief Executive of OnPus and Head of the Dublin Task Force. So we've spoken already about someone kind of getting a grip on things. Is there any other kind of little intuitive, little small thing that we could do really easy, any other low-hanging fruit to improve the quality of life in the city centre?
Yeah, I think we absolutely need to set up a major marketing vehicle for Dublin, whatever that is, whether it's in the council or whether it's in a mayor's office. I lived in London, you lived in London, Joe, and when you live in London, you know what's going on all the time. You know what's going on in terms of entertainment, but you also know what's going on in terms of transport, in terms of changes. And And we're not good at that. And we also need to be able to counter a lot of the negative media on social media. And there's a lot of bad actors out there who want to suggest Dublin's very dangerous, very violent. And I'm not saying that there isn't work required in safety. There is. We recommend 1,000 more guards. But the city, by and large, is a good city. There's loads of good things going on. There's loads of good activity. There's good changes. I'm very positive. And the task force is very positive about the city. And you know, but are we communicating enough with people in Greater Dublin to get them to come into the city? That really matters, because it is a virtuous cycle. If you get people coming into the city, that's what makes people feel safe. It isn't the guards. Guards help. But what really makes people feel safe are other people. And that's what we need. We need to get people coming in. I mean, Dublin now, after the pandemic, has half the number of people working in it in the city from before. Workday have announced they're bringing in 3,000 to 4,000 people into that site just off Tyra Street. That's fantastic. We need more of that. We need to get more people living, working, coming into the city centre.
And that applies to other cities, of Cork, Cork, Limerick, Galway and Waterford, of course, as well. Now, you're also the boss of Unpost, not a small task in itself. You had to rapidly modernise a pretty ancient company. That must have faced major resistance from within as well.
You know, it's Unpost is extraordinary. I always say I've never done a job where I've been remunerated less and enjoyed it more. It's a fantastic company, great front lines. And to be honest, all of the value of Unpost, you can find it in a postman or a postwoman. And you just need to reflect that through the company. Modernizing it became essential because we face an existential threat, because people stop posting letters and use email. And that's not to do with the price or anything else, just email is just more convenient. So e-commerce landed on our doorstep and we had to embrace e-commerce, and the team have embraced it in a fantastic way. And e-commerce is the biggest single business in the world, and it's world trade. And that's what we are. We're a trading company now. And we've moved our headquarters down to the port. I look out every day over the port, I see the containers coming in. 30% of all customs declarations in Ireland come through Unpost. So, you know, absolutely vital to the economy in that way. And I think that was what was most important for Unpost, was that people could see a purpose and a future. And now I always see it when politicians come down to the Exo, they're like, wow, we didn't realize you did all these things. Didn't realize you're as modern as you are. We didn't realize you're a DigiCorp. We didn't realize you're big in financial services, and that you're the best in financial services. And so, so the company does a lot of great things, and, you know, I'm blessed to have great teams doing the work.
Now, I can't let you go without asking you about the state of the world that we're in. Overnight, we had Donald Trump applying tariffs on his closest cultural and economic neighbours, Canada and Mexico, 25% across the board. We are in a global tariff war. Are you nervous?
Yes and no. I mean, I think I'm nervous because some of this stuff appears crazy, and I think what is most extraordinary, we all saw President Zelensky in the White House, and it all seems to be driven by sound bites and press and media, and there doesn't seem to be that much thought to it. I think that in time they'll work out that the tariffs aren't going to work that easily, that there are massive negative consequences to tariffs. Now, running Unpost, running a postal organisation is about free trade, so I'm naturally against tariffs. But I think in the end, the consequences will be felt in America. I think with the Taoiseach going over, he needs to emphasise not only are we the sixth largest investor in America, but if you take that by head of population, Irish people are by a country mile the biggest investors in America. And that's really important message to get across. We want to keep trade to be open. It is important for the economy here. But from Ireland's perspective, you know, I think the economy here is more than FDI. FDI really, really matters. It's really important. Why do we need to get Dublin right? Because that's our reputation. But we're more than FDI. We've brilliant economy. We've great people here. We've faced shocks before and we've dealt with them pretty well. And I think we'll deal with them again.
David, thank you so much for joining us. That's David McRedman, the Chief Executive of On Post and Head of the Dublin Task Force.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.